right now. Yo, oh yeah, that's lovely. Thank you ever so much, Snowtoad. Alex said you gifted 5 memberships. Thank you ever so
Before the
much.
stream even started,
I
like
know,
that's
man.
just unprecedented
That's
snow toting.
you wouldn't believe the amount of DMs I got about the show not being on. And I think maybe I made a rod for my own back because every week I was like, hey, look at us. It's like the fourth show, the fifth show, you know what I mean? So I made it worse, I think. But everyone's been so busy here, and everyone on this particular podcast is, I think, very important to VR in one way or another. So, and you guys have all been seeing each other. I think all of you have seen each other, and you, I think, is it Roots maybe and Alex are the only two?
I'm the only one that's out. I haven't
Roots
met
and I
anybody
haven't
here.
seen each other, and I haven't seen GT, you know, which,
I've lived through the story though of seeing somebody seeing you in the airport, Alex, and getting on and you getting excited. I've vicariously lived through that story a couple times.
in the
Nice.
airport.
Yeah, I thought it was at the airport.
Who's that with?
I could have sworn that was a story. Alex is like, oh no, I don't remember that.
Who did he
I
meet?
mean,
Who did he meet?
yeah, who are you talking about? I don't
Yeah.
know.
So I don't remember. Somebody said they saw you and you ran up and then you left. And so I don't know.
Okay, I think I know what you're talking about, Roots. I saw the guys from Rendered Reality at the airport.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So no, never mind. Forget it, Alex. You're out. The Rendered
Oh, for
Reality's
fuck.
in.
Okay, well,
Yeah, screw those
see you
Rendered
guys.
Reality guys anyway.
No, I literally just ran up behind them,
There you
like
go.
smacked them on the shoulder, and then ran away.
That was the completely wrong person with the wrong story.
Yeah. But it was
But
interesting,
meeting
yeah.
me is amazing, all right? Just
That's what I
for
have
the
heard.
record, okay?
I hung out of Alex at an airport, so there was a moment where I was thinking, it could be me. I don't know. It felt like a lottery going on. I guess I need to introduce everyone. Who should we start with? We should start with Eric Mash, because I normally leave him to last some reason, from QTC Gamer. How you doing, dude?
Going on, fellas? This feels weird, man. Feels like it's been way too freaking long, man.
Yeah.
It does, doesn't it? It's been 2 weeks, but it does.
It is. I told Skiba, I'm like, do you even remember how to do a podcast? When was the last? I think the last
Been a
podcast he was
while.
on was this one.
Yep. It's been a
That's
minute.
crazy. That's
You done
crazy.
yours though, Eric, last week, didn't you? Or a couple,
I did just because I needed to give the freaking PlayStation VR2 away. I probably would have done it if I didn't have to do that, but I've been putting it off way too long.
was that the second one that you ordered?
It was. It was the one I screwed up and ordered.
Nice, man. Nice. Next up, we've got from Between Realities, Alex VR and Skeever. How you doing, boys? You good?
Fantastic. So good. Just doing the VR tour around the States.
Yeah, man.
Good.
Yeah. So, where are you now, Skeever?
Right now we are in Las Vegas, Nevada for the Amusement Expo, where all of the big venues go to find like the next thing, like Disney World and like Dave and Buster's and all the big places. They all want to find like the next thing to entertain their people, and it's almost all VR.
That sounds
So,
amazing. What is
yeah.
it? Is it so? Let me get that straight. Is it just so happens because that's the latest tech that is VR, or is it a VR focused amusement?
No, I think it is. I think it's because VR is the newest, greatest thing that's entertaining people, right? Location-based VR is still going somewhat strong. VR arcades, things like Sandbox VR and the Return of the Void, and there's VR attractions at Disney, at every Dave and Buster's, at all of the big amusement places. So there's a lot of VR happening.
Yeah.
So it's Amusement Expo right now. Just 2 days ago, we were over at GDC in San Francisco. Before that, we were at the Ghost of Tabor launch party in Orlando, Florida. And right before that, we were at South by Southwest in Austin, Texas. And I can't wait
Wow.
to go home.
Seriously, I haven't seen my home since March 9th.
Oh, dude, I thought you came back.
Yep.
Did you go with your, was you not out with your wife the other day? Was that an old
No, she
picture?
came here. She met me in Vegas. So I
Oh,
flew into Vegas on
wow.
Saturday from San Francisco, and she flew in just for like she's here now. She's leaving tonight just for a couple of days, and we hung out, went to see Maroon 5 in concert,
Nice.
did she
Bring
had dinner,
the
and
PSVR2 with her?
I did. I told her, look, I don't have any time for you. I need to play Switchback. No, wait, Switchback is shit. Never mind. Never mind.
That's blurry. It's too blurry, man. You
It's
don't want
too
to play.
blurry. It
Yeah.
is very blurry. The Miura is mental.
I'll have to take you guys' word for it because I still haven't had a chance to play it.
That's crazy.
Man, I tell you what, it's been a real crazy week, actually. I thought you met your wife. I saw it on Facebook, and I was like, did he go home and then have a meal and then go back? And that's amazing, dude. That is so nice.
I went home for about 12 hours.
Mm.
And during that 12 hours, I literally played Switchback, and I went to sleep, and I got up, and I left for Vegas.
Wow.
What did you think of Switchback? Awesome. What did you think of Switchback?
I thought it was a lot of fun. From what I've played so far, I still prefer Rush of Blood.
I think Rush of Blood's still the better game. But
yeah. But it's still a blast. You know, it's really cool. I like all the different paths you can take. I like all the different little challenge things all over the place that you can shoot and, you know, bring your score up. And it's good. So far, it's good. I'll know more once I get through all the levels.
I watched a podcast the other day, and it had Matteo on it. And he was on, is it Virtual Boys, which is Shughead Gaming and the VR Grid Ryan. I do apologize. I've not had hardly any sleep because I'm trying to get things done. It was weird. They described a game that I did not play, Shughead and Ryan. They had a terrible experience with Switchback, but he had a really good experience with Switchback. And I was just like, how can this be? It's impossible. Surely, if you have PCs involved, I would understand that there's differences involved. But they would literally describe in two different games. But let me get my introductions out of the way. Next up, we've got Sadly Spreadly. How's it going, man? Do you ever take that thing off your head?
He's muted.
He is muted.
I'm very professional. No. And it's kind of a problem recently, actually. Like, I'm getting in arguments with my wife. She wants me out of VR. Can't get out. Help
me. You're not technically in VR though at the moment, are you? You're just sort of like...
No, I'm not. But literally, if I was not here, I'd be here. You know. So
you're an inch and a half away at all times, right?
I am. Yeah, just one flip of a switch, right?
Who else loves that you're an inch and a half away?
We haven't got it. We haven't got it. I don't know if Bruce has got it.
2 inches.
It was a stretch. It's a stretch. I thought about it, but I was like,
sorry, I was
4 inches away, Alex. Are you 4 inches away, Alex?
Yeah, that's more like it.
four inches would be a stretch, by the way.
I love that, Brad. In any situation you think is really shit, you can just go, I'm not interested. Pull it down. What do you think of that headset? Really? Do you love it?
I don't use my Index anymore. And I mean it. I've been putting so much hours into VR. It's like, it's made me question even more what platform holders should run this technology, because if they have control of people's time, like this headset is making me go into a certain platform every week, it could be dangerous. Smiley face. So yeah.
Damn. And this is like, basically I'm assuming it's primarily because of the form factor here, right? It's just like light and that's it. That's enough. That's all it took.
Yeah. Like, you know, for me, VR chat for me is already a killer app, right? Like, I can go back to it for hours and hours and hours. But you know, after the 2 hour mark, my last headset, you know, your neck starts hurting. It's not comfortable after time. You're kind of given a reason to get out, right? Just from comfort alone.
True.
And I've always believed that hardware was one of those huge, just absolutely huge retention, problems for the medium, right? Like, things don't look real, things don't look natural, but also it's just uncomfortable when things start to look more real in a certain way. This headset's a very good step for me where I just, like, I don't have that reason to get out of VR. Like, honestly, like I go in, like, 6 hours later, I'm like, oh my God, I skipped like two meals today. Cause I just, yeah, wow. It's wild. It's really, yeah.
So that is now your favorite headset.
It's got a lot of problems still, but it's my favorite headset for sure. I won't use anything else.
It's such a cool looking headset. It really is. Like, if you was at school and you was drawing like really cool cars or really cool VR headsets, I think you'd come up with the big screen beyond. Yeah. It is awesome. And last, but by no means least, Virtual Strangers. We've got Wes and Roots. How you doing, boys?
Good, man. I'm just woke up. I'm still kind of trying to get my bearings, but good. Glad to be back home. Glad to be back in front of cameras and microphones again. Like, Roots said it. It seems like it's been forever.
Yeah, except for I don't feel like I haven't gone anywhere. I've actually enjoyed my bed, my house. I haven't been jet setting. But I did. I'm not slumming it with my 2080 anymore. I got my 3080 Ti back in today, and it's back in my computer, and all three fans are running. So it's a win.
I had Ryzen 1070.
What?
Fuck.
Yeah. Well, how are you running World of Warcraft? Oh, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah. I mean, how did I play any VR and stream and record simultaneously? Like, it's amazing. I don't know.
What you got a 1070?
Yeah.
Well, still.
That's crazy.
I know.
Wow.
I know. I'm ready to upgrade. Just haven't gotten around to it.
Well, that's the thing. We all have upgraded since those days, but it never was because we had to. Mm-hmm. Like we were doing fine when we were back on 1080s and stuff. Like we just wanted to, because, you know, and eventually the price was good enough and the power was enticing enough when we went for it. But, you know, we never upgraded because we had to upgrade. It's because we wanted to.
I haven't felt like I needed it until I got to these mods, these PC VR mods, and
yeah, that's true.
Being able to crank everything up makes a big difference.
What are you guys all running? What are you guys all running? Like GPUs and stuff.
3080.
I'm running the 3080 Ti. I got the same car as Mash, 3080 Ti. Oh, listen to Skiva, man.
This man legitimately thinks 3090. That he is better than us.
4090.
Oh,
Brad just slaps it out there. Jesus. Like, I'm 4090.
You think you are
needed to run those goggles. You need to run the goggles. Let's put your VR goggles on.
4090, dude. Crazy. So what's like, I guess what's the budget of GPUs? Like, I think when it gets to £1,000 for me, I can't really stomach going over £1,000 for a GPU.
I think that's the wrong answer. Let's try again. Well, everybody will for these headsets, man. They're thinking 1400, 1500. I don't want to, but it's such a good headset. Having this video card has changed everything. I'm not even joking. Like, I go into games and I crank everything to the top, and it took everything out of my, and then on these mods, man, Hogwarts mod, just making it look that good and run that good. It doesn't happen with a lower end video card. Although for $1,000, I mean, you can still get a really banger video card. So,
oh, the prices are all so up and down at the moment. I don't know when a good time is to get a card. Maybe Alex is doing the best thing ever. You know, just rocking that 1070.
Until it falls out, man. Like, I don't. I think because it's also an Alienware PC, so like whatever else is in this thing is also probably.
Alienware's are fantastic. They're like highly tuned, aren't they? Like specialized. Yeah,
so it works out, you know. It hasn't like prevented me from doing anything substantial yet. So I guess until that happens, I'll probably be chilling, but I can't imagine it'll be long, you know, another year tops, right?
It's weird. I would have thought your big brother would have gave you a hand-me-down, you know. I thought Skeever would have like chucked you a, you know.
You know, I've been waiting. I've been dropping hints. You know, I'm like, Skeever, hey man,
need that 4090, and then I'll throw Alex a bone for sure.
Cool. So let's talk about GDC quickly, because I know, as I said, a lot of the pictures I've seen, it looked amazing, like an amazing show. The Ghost of Tabor, that fucking car, the Ghost of Tabor car. I was like, that is so good.
I rode in that thing
too. Look at this.
Nice military style.
I got one for you. I got one for you.
Thank you, sir. I love that. Thank you. Yeah, so just tell me about GDC, man. Give me a rundown of what's going on there and how VR is being represented.
So I will say that Ghost of Tabor car was in Orlando at the Ghost of Tabor launch party, which is a separate event from GDC, right? So GDC took place in California, which of course I was not able to attend, which makes me very sad. But I was in by some weird fluke actually able to go to Orlando. I was in the Uber driving to the airport to catch my ride back home to Arizona so I could spend a little bit of time with my wife before going to California for the event that I had to go to. And on my way to the airport, I get a text from my wife. She's like, hey, I'm positive for COVID right now. I just tested this morning. And we're like, I was like, no, that really sucks. You know, and she's like, yeah, so you probably shouldn't come here. And then I like can hear Masher in my ear, you know, and he's like, hey, Orlando. You should come to Orlando. So I literally changed my flight.
He nearly made me go, dude. He nearly made me go. I was I'm in the UK.
I think GT was like that close.
I was very close. My wife kept going, "You should go. You should go. You should go." And I was like, "I don't think I should go." But
and that's me too. That was the same way, and then I ended up going. You know, so
I won.
Yeah, my wife is better now, by the way. So no worries there. It's all good. We were celebrating our birthdays this week and it was all good. But yeah, I got to go to Orlando. I got to ride in that Ghost of Tabor car after the party. Scott was driving back to the hotel and I jumped in his car, avoided the Uber and cruised around in style for a minute, which is awesome. But yeah, that launch party was really, really awesome. I'm really glad that I was able to attend and make it. You know, Brad was there walking around with his big screen headset and we were like doing these fancy interviews in this like super high quality production studio that's like a part of this university that the party took place at. And the crew was awesome. You know, everybody was so excited about the game and I had a really great time. I'm glad that we were able to go.
Do you know what really sucks in Ghost of Tabor is when you have all this really cool shit and then you just get murked and someone gets it all. Wouldn't that have been cool if they had set it up that some of the Ghost of Tabor just like raided the car while you was in it? That'd have been so cool. They stole your car.
Took your wallet.
That'd have been great.
That'd be cool. Yeah.
That'd have made me feel like I'm playing Ghost of Tabor then. You know, it's like, I've lost all my shit.
Looking at it the wrong way, GT. You know, we have to look at it when you have that really good gear and somebody kills you and takes it. You're helping that person out. You gotta, you know what I mean? You're helping them gear up. And you can feel good about that.
Fuck that. No, I'm never going to think like that. I've noticed Skeever's got like, I've tried the XR8, man. It is a very good headset. And I saw you guys using the wireless trackers as well.
I just want to be like Brad, but I don't have a big
You don't have the cool.
Oh, look at that.
You haven't got the cool hair either. You need that cool hair, that surf hair. That's it. Look at that. Look at him go. Love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will say though, you know, talk about GDC real quick though, and you know, it's an incredible conference. This is my second year going, and last year I can say that there was definitely VR AR stuff there, but you had to hunt to find it. Like it was there, but you had to search. And Wes will tell you, and Skeever, and you did not have to search to find it this year. You came down those main escalator stairs to the whole floor, and everybody has to go this way to go to the expo floor. The first thing you see is a huge meta booth. Then you look to your right, and there's a huge resolution booth. And then right next to meta, there's a huge Pico booth. And right next to Pico, there's a huge PlayStation booth showing mainly PSVR 2. You know, and then there's, you know, booths all over the place with games, VR games too. So it was definitely there. And, you know, to me, VR was well represented this year at GDC.
That's so awesome, dude, because normally, like you said, every show I've ever been to, it's like a corner or a floor and you've got to find it, you know, or there's just like you're walking around and suddenly there's just this one bit of VR apparatus in the middle of everything else. That sounds amazing.
Not anymore. It's pretty dominant now. I mean, you even in the main hall of GDC, there's these like giant screens, you know, and usually the big companies have them, like Unity and Unreal, but there was a lot of VR headsets up there this year, a lot of the Quest Pro and stuff like that. So it was great, man. It felt like a VR show.
That is so
cool. I mean, there was Demio banners all over town, like on trash cans and on the sides of buildings. I mean, it was crazy.
It should be. Demio is amazing.
Have you got, I know Skeever has, have any, or the rest of you been to Resolution Games in Stockholm? I know.
No.
I'm gonna go next week, actually.
Dude.
We went to the new one though in Austin. Alex and Steven and Jasmine and I got a chance to go to they have a Resolution open up a brand new studio in Austin, Texas. That's really awesome.
That's what I was gonna say, man. Like when we went there with like Skeever and Todd and stuff, I saw like they are really invested in themselves in growth, you know. As things are doing well, they're growing with it. And to open another studio is insane. You know, they're obviously mega talented and things are in the pipeline. And they're also bringing Demio to, I think there's a Steam Deck version. It's flat, isn't it, now? So I think you can play VR and PC cross-play. Is it on PS5? I don't think it is, but...
Yep.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep, both on PSVR 2 and flat on PS5.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. And we got to play an unreleased Resolution Games title while we were at the studio. A multiplayer game.
Cool. What is it?
Can we say what it was?
You played it with us, GT.
Oh, well, we would have made a video. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, I don't know if we can, I don't know if we can say it, right? I don't know. Maybe not. Probably. Maybe.
You we signed an NDA.
You say
it. Is it the game we played? Is it the game
we played it? We played it on like the first day we wore those sweatbands. Do you remember? Remember that, GT?
Did you say sweat? Did you say sweatpants?
Sweatbands. Sweat? Like on our wrists and our.
Oh, shit. No, we can't talk about that.
Yep. Right.
How dare you try and get us to talk about that, GT?
We can't talk about that. I literally forgot. I've got such a bad memory, man. So, yeah, give me some highlights then. So, what I was going to say, Alvin Wang followed me from HTC. So, someone's been speaking to him, saying nice things about me.
Holy shit, dude. Skiba, tell him the Alvin Wang story.
Can we? Are we supposed to talk about that?
Yes, he put it on Facebook, man. You can talk
he
about
did?
It. Yeah.
So we're sitting there at this party, which was a sick party, by the way. It was like one of the best VR parties I've ever been to. And Alvin was there and he came over, he was talking to Mash and me. And Alvin was like, dude, Mash was rocking this really sick GDC sweatshirt. And Alvin was like, dude, I like that sweatshirt. That's nice. Mash was like, I really like your Vive shirt, man. We should trade. And Alvin, in the middle of the bar, just stripped, man, bare skin, gave him his shirt. Alex gave, I mean, Mash gave him the sweatshirt. And they literally switched shirts right there in the middle of the bar.
Here's the awesome part. I put bizarre. Alvin's like a large shirt on me, and I'm like, that was 20.
Alvin shredded.
Dude, he is cut. Like, he's jacked.
He is. He's pretty cut.
That's so
Alvin cool. Ray, Alvin Grayley was jacked, yo.
There you go. So, HTC were representing, though, were they? Like, there. Were they? Was there a booth as well? You said I didn't hear HTC.
There was no booth, but they had a building that they rented. It was like a couple story place where they were doing demos. They were demoing the XR Elite, they were demoing its face and eye tracking unit, and they were demoing the new base stationless trackers, which are pretty awesome. So they were showing the whole thing, plus a bunch of, you know, they were doing some Viverse demos, and you know, they were showing all kinds of stuff, and it was really great. It was a beautiful space, and it was great.
I think the XR Elite
get trackers.
Oh, sorry,
are you gonna get some, Skiva, for your elbows and your knees?
I would like them, you know. I would really like a world where there's no more base stations needed, so you can like travel with this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Imagine not having to carry, because base stations are very, you know, they break easily. They spin at high RPMs, and like I don't want to carry those things around. So just bringing those trackers, those things are awesome, and this headset, man, this headset's dope. So,
plus people that don't have base stations like myself could actually get in the fray.
Yeah, and you know, their the headset greatest thing agnostic
is too? Exactly, that's what I was gonna say. Mm-hmm. How smart is it for HTC to say, you know what, we're not going to make this a closed system, it's an ecosystem that's open. If you got a Quest 2 and you want body tracking, here you go.
Yeah, it's smart.
It's open really good.
Whole new
$300 for enterprise only.
Oh yeah, that's never mind.
That's a lie.
How much are the truckers then each?
They didn't say.
TBD.
Okay. Ooh, how much do you guys think they'll be?
Not 200 bucks? Yeah, about 150.
I was gonna say 199, but
199 for three? You think it'll be three?
Oh, each. I was going, but if they're
each.
Oh, 199 each? Mm-hmm. No, I don't think it'll be that much.
That's what I think, not actually. Each. That's my guess.
$200 a piece?
Will you buy? Yeah. Will you
currently
pay it,
150
will you,
each?
Brad, right? Will you pay it? Is that too much for you?
Yeah, I would pay it. Yeah.
It's fucking interesting. If there's anyone in the room who would pay it, it would be Brad.
Well, Brad's gonna get like four or six of them and just wear them all the time.
He'll swallow one.
I want to put one on my dog.
Oh,
do you need it though? Like, if you have base stations and all of that, like, isn't it kind of for people who don't have base stations?
When I saw that product, it was the first time I looked at my room and I'm like, I might not need base stations anymore. You know, that's literally what I thought. Like that's the future, right?
Without your Index, right? Because you're gravitating to a different headset as well.
They showed They showed one mounted to that headset that Brad's wearing to make it base stationless.
Did they actually? Wow.
Yeah. Whoa.
Yep.
Huh.
These things are tiny too, guys. They're literally like this big. I mean, they're so light and they'll connect to anything.
Yeah. Talk to me about the XR Elite. Brad, did you get to try it?
No, my order got canceled due to an issue, so I won't get one for a while. I will only order it from Amazon for past experiences ordering from the Vive Direct website personally. So it's going to take a bit of time. So sorry, I don't got anything to say.
No worries. Smart. Yeah, talk to me about it. Talk to me about that headset in particular. You know, I'm quite excited with VR. There's so much going on in VR. It's so cool. I just hope personally, I love games. I just hope there's more games and stuff. But yeah, let's talk about some headsets, man. Let's talk about XR Elite.
I mean, I Skiva can probably talk more than anybody else, but I will say real quick that I got a chance to try the XR Elite with the depth sensor turned on, and it is the best pass-through. That it was borderline the best pass-through already, but you add the depth sensor chip into this headset, and it is so freaking good, this color pass-through with depth sensor. It's hands down the best.
Are you on about like the Squidward, the Squidward looking thing?
So no, that's that will track your face. That's a face tracker.
Okay.
That's built in, a face and eye tracker that's built in. And that actually thing is really cool. And it basically is just a new facial interface that just magnets on. So you take your other magnet interface off, you put this one on, it's got the face tracker on it, and the eye, and it's got the eye tracker built into the interface. That's a really cool way to do it. But no, just the chip that is built inside the headset so when you go to color pass through. It was turned off when we were all at CES testing. They didn't have it turned on. It wasn't activated. And I thought then that the pass-through was really good. Now, with it activated, it is by far the best. It's way better than the Pico. It's way better than the Quest Pro. It's really, really, really good.
That makes me wonder whether I've tried it with it on then. I probably haven't. Because my demo was, I don't know, maybe 2 months ago. So
I would say you probably didn't, yeah.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, they just got the beta build of it enabled like that day that we tried it.
Yeah.
What? I feel like they didn't even know that they were going to really be able to show it.
Bluebell wants to know what the sweet spot's like on it.
It's pretty great. I mean, I feel like the sweet spot on it is way bigger than the PSVR 2, at least.
What is it?
Yeah, really.
So the lenses on this are really cool, right? They have they also have diopters on there. So you can turn the little dials and you can adjust for your prescription.
Oh, wow.
So that way the lenses can get really, really close up to your face and give you a decent field of view. So it's pretty good. It's really light, you know, it's fully convertible. So you can just pull this back battery strap off just like that and put on the glasses things.
Yeah, I believe without the battery strap, it's 290 grams.
Yep.
Just the glasses, like that's what I love so much about my demo. I was just like, this is crazy. It's so good. Get into that. And that's where I saw that before I sort of mocked it, where the guys were saying, yeah, you can put a battery on your belt and wear it that way. But I kind of thought, actually, that's a really good trade. 290, you know, pair of glasses and a wire going down. It kind of then thought, I could see myself.
I'll tell you, so that's one of the main turn-ons for me is being able to pull that off and like sit comfortably in an airplane and use it, you know, have a battery pack in my pocket or something and be able to just like watch movies, you know, or hang out and play some, you know, not so crazy games, you know, be able to switch those batteries out default, right, without having to add anything onto it. You know, if you buy another back battery, you can literally hot swap it. So there's a small battery inside the headset that'll last about 10 minutes without the main battery connected to it.
Right.
Which gives you enough time to swap out the battery on the back or pull it off and put a battery pack on.
Nice, nice. Thank you to everyone in chat, by the way. Sorry. Hello. How you doing? Good to see you all. Really appreciate you all being here. Thank you. Snowstone's been a member for a month. He's probably brought about 40 members to this channel. Thank you ever so much. I know you guys, I tried Tilt 5 back in August. Some of you obviously have played it now, Tilt 5, and some games. What are your experiences and thoughts on that? If anyone doesn't know what that is, quickly search it. It's an augmented reality gaming device. I think it's pretty cool, but what do you guys think of it?
It was cool. It was cool. I got a chance to try it for the first time when we were in San Francisco. And we got to play a new game, which I don't know how much we're allowed to talk about. And it was cool. It was cool, kind of a board game thing. But what really impressed me was afterwards that they ran me through like a whole gamut of demos. And I wasn't aware of the versatility of the different kinds of games that you can play on it. It was really cool with like, especially with like isometric view games. Like they played kind of like classic games almost, but they pop out. It was almost like playing like a reshade mod right on the tabletop. It was pretty cool.
When I first saw it, I remember thinking I'd love to see Demio in AR.
Yeah.
Like that would fucking blow my mind. As soon as I saw it, I
thought, would they?
That would just like.
They bug them like daily.
Yeah,
they're like brutal with resolution games. They're constantly pinging them.
It has
like,
to happen, surely. Yeah.
That would be the ultimate Demio machine. Can you imagine that? That'd be so sick.
Yeah,
we got to remember to clip this and send it to them. I'm sure that they'll post it everywhere, right?
We did a video with them, like Jerry Ellsworth and Stephanie Greenhall and me and Skiva and Wes and Todd standing like in front of the Tilt 5 sign and just yelling. Demio until 5. They're like, send it to Paul Brady from Resolution.
It just makes sense. So much sense. Because when Wes was describing those games, that's the kind of game they're the kind of games I think look good, but they've got like racing games on there, I think. I think they showed me a racing game on there. I've also seen it where someone's had two of the reflective panels. So one's vertical, one's down. And apparently that's a pretty sick experience as well. I haven't seen that.
I got to imagine that would be nuts if they developed games specifically for that. I mean, that could get really cool.
Yeah, apparently you can, like, you get this particular playboard, but you can even buy bigger playboards and put them together, I think, but there's obviously like a graphical limitation, I think, when it comes to certain aspects of these games. But yeah, but
theoretically, you could put that up like wallpaper in your room.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying, yeah. Mm-hmm. And to be real, the only downside I found of it personally was the resolution. I think it's like 720p with the visuals. That was the only thing what didn't quite live up to my imagination. And my imagination was pretty high. So I was still very,
personally
very happy.
Am not a huge fan of the controller. Like, it just seems a little weird to me. Like, the controller, if you've never seen it, it literally looks exactly like a barbecue grill lighter, you know, like an extended lighter with like a trigger on it. And you can like turn it sideways and kind of use it like a game pad, or you can like use it almost like it's a fishing pole and pull stuff out of the board with it. And like, I see why they have it the way that it is, but I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of it. You know, I'm looking forward to like the next iteration of their controllers.
I was okay with the button layout and the way that they use it. What I didn't like about the controller is when you do turn it sideways, you have that antenna sticking through your fingers, and you could never really get comfortable with it.
Nice. Sorry. Yeah.
It looks, you know, I feel like this has the potential, if it hits the right price point, to, you know, to be something special. Like, imagine sitting around just with your family and playing a cool 3D version of, you know, Monopoly or just any board game that you want, and then switching over and playing like more like a hardcore video game. You know, this could be really cool. They need to hit the price point, and they need to let you run multiple sets of glasses off of one machine.
I think you can do that hard now, can't you?
Right, you can on certain games. And maybe that's why the resolution is stuck so low, because they have to like now dole out to multiple sets of headsets. But now they also have an Android build, I believe, so you can plug it into your phone and use that to render the experience.
Wow, that's so cool.
That helps.
Yeah, so they're getting there.
And is that with Apple though? This, right? Did you say Android though? That's only Android phones.
Android. Yeah. Android. No, I don't think Apple. But there's a market for it, right? I mean, people spend thousands of dollars on these video tables. Have you guys seen these? There's all kinds out there, but they make their video game board tables, but they're flat, right? I mean, they're just, but you get every board game on the video. This is basically a million times better. It's that, but it's, you know, with AR, you get depth and you get verticality to it. So it's not just you looking down into the board. It does give you the sense of 3D where it actually comes up out of the board too. So it is expensive and it does need to hit a price point, but there is a market for it if they can. Like, there's a lot of people out there that do game nights, you know, board game nights.
Yeah.
We have a lot of people in our community that do. My partner, Todd, from QTCVR Gamer, bought one of those tables. I don't even know what he paid for that thing. One of the flat ones. You know what I mean? His family just got one for Christmas. So, and they're a big board game family. So I think it does scratch an itch for people. It just, like Skiba says, it needs to hit a price point. It needs to be, you need to have be able to use multiple headsets on one board.
Yeah, and we don't know the price point. Did you say we know the price point?
No, we do. It's, what is it now? I didn't even show. Yeah. But I think it needs to hit a price point where you get multiple glasses for that.
So it's 400.
Like right now, it's the board and one. Is it board and one set of glasses?
Right. Okay. Yeah, I'll see what you're saying.
The two glasses pack is $659. So one glasses, $359. Two glasses, $659, and three glasses, $959.
I'm looking at the chat, and a lot of people are like, I don't know, like Wolf Rars says, Tilt 5 makes sense 10 years ago.
You know, I can kind of see that though. Like, you know, I've been a little bit bullish on like mixed reality, you know, and like pass through stuff. Cause like, I don't know, like if I'm putting a headset on, I just want to be immersed into the experience. Right. And if I'm going to be adding virtual objects into my space, I'd prefer that to be done with like AR glasses, not like a whole ass headset on my face, you know, but, you know, I did try the XR Elite when we were in Austin. You know, the HTC team, like Alvin and Ray were there, and they were demoing basically in like the corner of Resolution Games' studio. And I got to jump in there and I did the Yuki mixed reality game. And then I did another one called...
You done the composer
Maestro.
One. Yeah, Maestro.
Maestro.
Yeah.
So... I actually kind of liked it a lot. You know, the game was fun, you know, it was like a super intense bullet hell experience, and being able to see my, like my surroundings and the people around me and stuff was a benefit that I never really cared about. And after experiencing it, I was like, oh, okay, I'm starting to see now why people are like really pushing for this MR thing, because I didn't feel so disconnected from my environment, but I was still immersed in the experience that I was having at the same time, you know? So if someone like made a comment, I could look over and say hi to them really quick. And then like, bam, I'm like back into the game experience. So I'm starting to see the value that being able to like be in touch with the room around you has while you're experiencing these immersive games. And, you know, AR, I think, is going to be capable of doing that. But I think the mixed reality experiences in the headsets might get us there faster and in a better way. So I'm kind of excited for it now. And I will say that one thing I thought that was cool about Maestro before I pass it is that it's a game where you hold a controller in one hand and have hand tracking in the other. So I'm like using a controller to swing my baton and then using hand tracking to like point at the different sections of the orchestra to like get them to do their thing. Hand tracking wasn't very good. All right. Just being blunt about it. Like I didn't think the hand tracking was even close to where it needs to be for me to like feel good about buying a game that has hand tracking supported in it and then playing it. But once that hand tracking does get better, to be able to use it in tandem with a tracked controller, I think is really, really awesome. And I'm sure that that's just scratching the surface of the potential there.
I was at a birthday party for my kid and who's 8. And I was talking to some parents and someone was like, "You work in VR, right?" And they were, and then they said, you know, I have two Quest 2s at home and haven't used them in like 4 or 5 months. And I'm like, really? Why? Why is that? And he said, because I have like 3 kids and 2 dogs and I can't not see them. Do you know what I mean? Like I'll be tripping over the dogs. The kids will be pulling on things. So what you were saying, Alex, is very true. There's definitely a subset of people that will gravitate towards the games where they can see their environment and see what's happening and still be able to watch their kids and not step on their dog that's running around chasing the other dog. You know, it's...
Yeah. I want to add to that. I think some people feel that about sound as well. Now, I know the Quest gets a bit of hate for the sound quality that it produces with the spatial audio, but I actually think it's quite good for what it does. And I actually like that. I like that the sound sounds like it's in the room with me rather than me not being in that room. Does that make any sense to anyone? Because I feel quite alone in that. Like, I'm quite happy to play my Quest without headphones a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. But
I love my Index because it sounds really good, but my kid can still come over and be like, Dad, and I know, you know, and she's not like pulling on me as I'm swinging my arm to hit something in VR and I knock her out. Right. We don't want that. But like, so I can hear, so I can hear what's happening in my house.
Dude, you know, what sounds so good is the Pico, dude. Like that blew me away. I use
Pico
Z-Storms, 4. I use Z-Storms Pico 4. And yeah. the main thing I noticed was the just the richness of the audio coming out of the headset. Really surprised me, actually.
I love the controllers. They're so like, if Nintendo ever made a VR headset, they're the sort of controllers I'd imagine that they would make. They feel really good.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
I like them a lot, too.
We got to wish Doomsly a happy birthday. So, yeah. Happy birthday, Doomslayer.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Doomslayer and Spry Guy.
Yep.
Is it Spry Guy? Is he here?
Well, so now Spry Guy is taking over Doomslayer's birthday. Is that what's happening?
Everybody's birthday, bro. It's every day, every minute.
Roots, are you watching the chat? Because there's people like dropping things about the sweet spot. You know, who else has a small sweet spot?
She loves the sweet spot.
But yeah, I'm banging to the headphones. I just got the brand new Bobo Air ones, which completely make the other ones like obsolete completely because they don't need any power. So yeah, I'm looking forward to trying them out. But yeah, I kind of
showed up for me too. I haven't tried them yet either.
No, I haven't tried them. They said there's better audio quality because I think with the battery ones, if you had the volume too low, there was like a hiss.
Yeah, there was. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Did they fix, like, I remember too that the headphones would push kind of hard on your ears, and after a while your ears would get sore. At least they did for me. That was one of the gripes that that I told them about as well.
Nice. Wes, you need to start speaking, apparently. People are missing your voice. So.
His voice, he's just been out. He doesn't, something's wrong with his throat.
Yeah, I apologize. Things keep popping up on my screen that I have to deal with, so I've been kind of in and out of it. Sorry, everyone. I hope that's enough of my voice to appease you for the
there he goes. Pay attention fully to the chat. Plus.
I want to know what Eric thinks about. I just read an article today about from Upload VR, the top 25 PlayStation VR 2 games, and number 11 was What the Bat. What are your thoughts on that, Eric?
Number 11 out of 25.
Number 11.
So what was? I want to know what's after 11. Like
I don't know. 10. I think Light Brigade was 16 or something ridiculous.
Fuck
like,
off. Serious? Like,
it almost didn't make
my list. Let me look at this shit. That is
there's some good ones on there. They got the first like 5 to 7. I think Switchback was 7 or 8.
They're not in order though. They can't be in
I think that's the order.
Yeah. No, but I don't think they're in like good game order. No, they can't be.
They are because they go from like least good to most good.
No, they don't. Don't tell me that. Come on. Oh, yeah, they do.
Number 1 is Call of the Mountain. 2 is Resident Evil 8. 3 is, I think, maybe 3 is Switchback. I don't know.
Where's Tentacular?
It's like
I don't think that made it.
Man, it did. It did. 21st. 21.
Oh, my God. Oh, wow. There you go.
I'll say this. I've met very many lovely people from Upload.
Is that it?
That's a safe answer.
Do you know, they're lovely people at Upload.
You know, we were in line trying to get into one of these parties in San Francisco last week, and we met a very nice, lovely developer. And as it turns out, it was someone from Neat Corp, the studio behind Garden of the Sea.
Budget Cuts? God. Is that Neat Corp?
Budget Cuts.
Yeah.
And Garden of the Sea.
Oh,
Mash, you don't like Garden of the Sea, do you?
I you know what I did? As soon as she said, because, you know, we said budget cuts, and she said, yeah, and Garden of the Sea. I actually turned around and walked away from her.
Oh, my God.
Damn.
Oh,
the disrespect.
No, you did not.
I turned right back, came back. But I was like, Garbage of the Sea. I hate that game.
Garbage of the Sea. Oh, my.
She was super nice. I mean, she was super.
I enjoyed it. I enjoy games like that. You know, I've put in hundreds of hours in Animal Crossings and, you know, like cute little life sim experiences. I played the crap out of Raccoon Lagoon when that came out on the Quest. So, you know, I think it's just a preference thing. It's not, the game's not garbage.
This list, I just want to say, I'm so sure. Have you guys met Harry Baker from Upload?
Oh, yeah.
He's so awesome. He's so awesome. I don't think this is in numbers of 25 being like the worst to the best. If you know, it can't be, because it doesn't make any sense.
So. Yeah, according to this, After the Fall is worse than what than what the best.
Well, this is the thing. Then why would the top ones be at the number one, two, three? Those are like the top games for the PlayStation VR 2, and they're all just happen to be 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 or whatever. That list, just by looking at that, tells me that it's got to be in their mind in order.
Yeah, who wrote this?
Look, I love Upload. I love the team. I love everyone there. I think they do wonderful things for VR. But I will say this. These guys aren't gamers. They're journalists. They know the hardware very well. Jamie Feltham was the gamer. He's gone.
I think Harry Baker is also the gamer, but obviously he can't do everything, can he? I don't think.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think Harry's a gamer.
Do you know?
Please tell me.
He's the closest. Maybe he's the closest.
Yeah, I had a couple of conversations with him about some old school games, and he seemed to know what I was talking about. So, yeah.
Do you think he calls it VR goggles?
he calls it the Oculus.
He calls it the Oculus.
The VR.
The VR.
He's going to call it the What the Bat machine.
Oh man. I did actually go, I did actually turn on What the Bat, and I think I like hit something off a wooden thing, and I just turned it off again. And I was like, oh, I can't remember.
I'd love to tell you it gets better, but it doesn't.
I don't think you put enough time into it, Skiva. You got to get it like at least 10 or 12 hours in there to really like see how good this game is.
I think I forced myself into four hours. I was like, eventually I'm going to get to a level and I'm going to be like, oh,
it's going to click.
Oh, okay. That doesn't never happened. Nope.
The only time it clicks is when you take a bat, you hit yourself in the face, knock yourself out, and you don't have to go through it anymore.
God damn it, man. That's crazy. I don't know who wrote the list. I don't know if anyone's going to call him out or not, but that is interesting. Now I need to play that and Garden of the Sea, which is insane. What are you guys playing at the moment? Any games in particular you're enjoying? I mean, I know you guys are on the road and stuff, so you probably even had time to play much.
I just had cracked into The Walking Dead Saints and Sinners Chapter 2 Retribution on PlayStation VR 2 before I left town.
And
I thought it was amazing. It was amazing, dude. Now, I'm just getting started in it. You know, I had a couple of play sessions before I flew out. But man, it's like a whole different game from the Quest version, huh?
Oh, yeah. Wow. That's a statement. Yeah. Like, it looks brilliant on PSVR 2. It really does.
It really does.
And I tried to... And it might be more because of the Quest 2 as well, but I try to make the PC look on par with it, but it just didn't perform as well either. You know, it just looks so smooth and it just plays really well for me personally. I love it on PSVR 2.
And then you've got that whole other layer of tactile feedback that just adds to every game, it seems like.
It's like the PSVR 2 currently is like what the Quest was for me when it first came out. You know, you're just doing something and then suddenly you're in VR and you're just having a good time. And I tend to be doing that a lot with PSVR 2. So much at the moment, because that, as you said, the image quality and the graphics of Saints and Sinners 2 is brilliant. I love it. I think it's so good. I've been really enjoying playing that game, getting back into it.
So Artful says what? Not Switchback West to beat that track? GT holds the record over you. So, What Artful's talking about is GT came into our stream last week and made sure to that I put him into my friends list so everyone could see where he's at.
I couldn't handle it. You're sitting there going, nice. You're going, my friends. And I'm like, I'm your fucking friend. Put me on that list. I want
to
be.
Well, anyway, since then, I have proceeded to overtake Gamertag VR on every track except for one, which I didn't get around back into. And you're right, Artbot, that's on my to-do list this week. We got to take care of that one last track.
Oh, I think D's been taking over your records, Wes.
Yeah, D's been very publicly putting me to shame while I've been away and can't play.
God damn it. How's she getting on with that game anyway? Because she's quite a bit of a scaredy cat, isn't she, certain games?
She's doing good. I guess it must not. I guess maybe Brian's more right than what we think. It's saying it's not that scary.
It's not. I can't handle scary games, and I didn't have any problems with what I played.
Did you find Rush of Blood more scary than this?
Yes.
Kind of felt the same way. I felt like it. I mean, I haven't played through the full game, but I feel like it was creepier for some reason.
In its entirety, I would say Rush of Blood is more of a nightmare. Especially with the roller coaster parts. That they were just so insane, you know. It's just like houses were pulled apart and then you're diving through these dolls and
Here's the difference for me, and what I think really is taking away not only from the scare factor, but the overall enjoyment of the game versus something like Rush of Blood. If you want to compete on the leaderboards in this game, you can't stop shooting. Everything's destructible and everything has a point limit attached to it. So literally, you just have to spam bullets through the whole thing. Where Rush of Blood was more of a, you know, more about accuracy. This game's more about just reflexes and never stop, you know, endurance. And I think since you're always trying to shoot things, it doesn't really allow you the time to take things in. You're just constantly, you know, click, 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 click all the way through the track. So, you know, if Rush of Blood's better than this game, I think it's because there is no accuracy component to this. I think they have some amount of aim assist on, at least it seems that way at times, and you just can't ever stop pulling the trigger. So maybe they'll tweak it in the future, and I think that it would be beneficial to people's enjoyment and the scare factor of the game. But I'm really enjoying it. It's a formula that's hard to mess with, you know.
It's weird because the preview demos we had were the best scare factors from three levels edited. So it felt, when I started reviewing the game and those long sections in between, I did kind of think, like, why are these bits even here? Like, Rush of Blood was, I think Rush of Blood, they just kept trying to make an excuse to do something else, you know, like, how can we make this crazier and more scary? But I still like Switchback, man. I think it's a really good game. I really do hope they fix the visuals, because I think that has overtaken the conversation that should have happened about the game. You know, it's just been about visuals. So yeah, that's been a bit of a shame. But
I've been trying to stay away from it because I haven't played it yet. I've been away from my PlayStation VR 2 now for a long time. And I to be honest, I apologize. I haven't watched any of anybody's coverage, which I usually try to do, but is it worth it? Like, is this a disappointment, I guess, is my question. I mean, and maybe you're saying it's still a good game, but, like, is this a disappointment? Like, we had high hopes for this game, right? Like, so did they let us down? I mean, is it worth it? Should somebody go out and buy it, or should they wait for a sale?
I'll let Wiz go first.
You should definitely buy it, especially if you're a fan of Rush of Blood the way that I was. The way you framed the question, is it a disappointment? I guess technically, I mean, I thought that this might be game of the year. I don't feel like that's in the cards anymore, but it's still one of a handful of games that I want to play right now. I'm like, most of my library I don't want to touch. Switchback, I mean, I'm constantly thinking about getting back into it. So it's a great game. It really is a great game. Is it as good as I had hoped? Probably not.
Sure, the $1.99 cheaper super chat is asking, is it true that different devs worked on Switchback? I'm assuming compared to Rush of Blood.
Yes.
Well, the game director, sorry, GT, the game director of this game did not work on Rush of Blood.
Yeah. So
I'm the opposite of you as Wes. I have a problem trying to get back into it, but it's for the same reason, because I am enjoying it. I definitely think it's worth playing, Eric. I'm hoping and praying, and from talking to Wes on the show last night, I'm not very optimistic, but I'm hoping that they're going to fix the blurriness and make it like super amazing. I want to play through the rest of it after they fixed it. But I'm thinking, am I like waiting for nothing? Like, am I waiting for something, Wes, that's not going to happen? Is that what's happening here?
Well, I mean, is the gameplay there though? I mean, is it just the blurriness, or is the gameplay?
Oh, the gameplay's there. I think, I don't know. There's some really crazy moments, man. Like, there was a moment I picked the wrong track and and left some lady to burn to death on the thing while she was screaming. And I'm like, oh my God, like, I decided I'm just going to keep taking the right track so that I kind of have an idea of which way I've went, which ended up being screwy anyway, because sometimes there's a track there that you miss. But I went right, and then it was too late. And I just watched her like screaming, helping, asking for help. And I had already gone. I was too late. I'm like, sorry, lady. It's not my fault.
How dare you leave that lady?
I think the question is, if Rush of Blood didn't exist, how would we feel about this game?
Oh, right?
Because I still love this. I love my time that I've spent in Switchback, but I can't help but to compare it constantly in my mind as I'm playing to Rush of Blood, because I hold that it's such a high standard. You know, I think if Rush of Blood didn't exist, we would just be praising this game.
I think you're absolutely right. That's what Mateo said on Virtual Strangers. Virtual Boys, sorry. He said, I never played Rush of Blood on PSVR. So he had nothing to go by. So in his mind, I think this was the best horror roller coaster game he'd ever played. So that's the thing, you know, like, as I said, Rush of Blood is like, I don't know, dude. I don't know how many times Wes has probably played through Rush of Blood. It's probably, like I have, probably 20 times, 30 times. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, a Switchback, I can't actually see that happening now. I can see me playing it, I don't know, once or twice a year, maybe. You know, it's not going to be... Rush of Blood was just such a great game to dive into constantly.
It's a different game.
How much does the game cost?
$40.
Yeah.
Which is that weird because it's a PlayStation game?
Yeah, probably, but everybody's... What's weird is people are talking like $40 is like so expensive, and I'm like, that. I think that's what it should be. And, you know, $20, which what the Rush of Blood came out how many years ago, was kind of unrealistic for that price. So, but to think that $40 is too much, it's definitely worth $40 in my opinion.
The good thing is developers are now noticing what the community is saying about native 90 being... an important benchmark in games. Not this, oh yeah, we'll just do 60 and reproject it to 120. Everyone's benefiting from 90 native.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And hopefully we get there. I'm pretty sure that that's what we were expecting. I think that they said that's what it would be, and it isn't. But, you know, I don't want to get too negative on the game. Like, I'm having a blast with the gameplay, Mash. You were asking about the gameplay. You know, when I was talking about the differences in gunplay, that's just one aspect of this game. There's a lot more kind of versatility to what you're doing in this game with all the track switches and puzzles and all the different things they've added into it. It is a different game. It's a similar but different game.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
On my PlayStation,
Skiba, you brought your PlayStation, right? To Vegas?
Nah, he doesn't have that.
What? I could be playing it right now.
What the hell, Skiba?
So I've been traveling a lot. I haven't had a chance to do too much on my PlayStation VR 2. I've played Call the Mountain all the way through, and I've done some Demio, right? Mm. But I have today and tomorrow morning to jump into my next PlayStation VR 2 venture, right? So is it Switchback? Or is it Gran Turismo? Or is it Resident Evil? Or is it What the Bat? I need to know.
I'd say What the Bat. I'd say that Harden on not going to Gran Turismo, man. That thing is amazing.
Yeah, I think Gran Turismo is the safest one out of all of them. Yeah, that's incredible. But if you're not into a car racer, I don't know, because Resident Evil 8 is a really good one. But I think if you want to see, like, I think Saints and Sinners really shocked me. Chapter 2. It looks so good. It looks really good.
And let's not forget the Lap Brigade. The Lap Brigade is true. Fucking awesome.
And it's so good now, isn't it, with that latest update?
Yeah, it is. I haven't tried it since, you know, they updated it again a couple days ago and put the, I'm pretty sure they put the eye tracking based foveated rendering in there. I haven't played it since they've done that, but the update they put on it the week before that moved it to a smooth 90 made a world of difference with it, and it was very good.
Dude, yeah, there's also like a ghosting thing going on. So, like, Mike said to me, I said to him, like, you need to play Light Brigade, dude, you know, because he hadn't played it. And he said, I can't. He said, because if I move my head, it's like the world's moving, things are moving in the world that shouldn't be moving. And I can see what he's saying, actually. Even when I play certain games on PSVR 2, if you had the brightness up a bit too high, it looks like if you move your head, it's like a certain object sort of wobble a little bit.
I've seen that in a couple of games too. It's like what do they call that? Moving shutter. If you're using a camera and you move it around, I've noticed that too in a couple of games.
Yeah. So Brad dropped his video on PSVR2 recently. What's been the reception of that video, Brad? How's it been?
Honestly, been taken pretty well. For a lot of people, it actually, for some people, it made people figure out why they also were getting sick, because
That's what I was kind of hoping you would say. Yeah, because everyone's different, you know. You got the people going, yeah, it's absolutely fine, and then they see someone else going, it's not fine, and everyone's like, well, why is it not fine? And you obviously did a very good description of why it's not fine.
I think it was a great opportunity for me to kind of go back and talk about why VR hardware does certain things that other hardware doesn't, because we have displays strapped to our head instead of just stationary in an area. So but yeah, some people, I was expecting the worst, because obviously it wasn't like the most positive review of the system. I feel I was pretty fair. I gave all the best parts about it. Like I said, some people came out, they were DMing me saying, I did things differently based on what you recommended in your review, and I could actually play the system without getting sick. And, you know, it's unfortunate that a company like Sony released something where it's like that, in my opinion, but like, whatever. And like you said, the developers like Light Brigade, who are realizing the reprojection relying on that is just a terrible idea in every single way, especially in 2023. It's going to be, I think it was an important video, and I'm happy it came out well.
I just think, like, when you see something like, I think some people, when we talked about the Light Brigade going native 90, they basically said, oh, yeah, it's because the game is quite simplistic looking. And then when I went into The Walking Dead, I was like, hold on a minute. Like, this game's like hyper detailed and it's running at native 90. So, I mean, it's down to the devs, which then makes you think, like, what did happen with Switchback? I'm not sure. Cause I played another game, which I went into detail a little bit on, Galaxy Kart, without even going into details of the game, that also has that slight PSVR blur to it. And that's so far down the list of problems, to be honest. That's probably a highlight. That's probably a damn.
I think you're right. I think you're right though, with the devs wanting to make sure they get everything native 90, but like we played a game at GDC. It's a brand new game called
Crossfire
Squad.
Yeah.
That was, now, and we were very particular to ask them, this demo absolutely blew me away. It's one of the best looking games I have ever seen. And we were very specific to ask them, like, what is this running? And they were like, the demo is running 60 reprojected to 120, but they said they would release the game at native 90, and it already looked freaking AAA amazing.
Yeah.
So that game right there, and that just makes me think that the devs can do these things if they want to do these things, because that game is graphically intense. If you can make native 90 on that game, you can do it on any game. Doesn't matter what it is.
Plus, it also shows you that the devs, they've got the message that native 90 needs to be the standard. And they're, because you're starting to hear all these developers before this game's how far away, and they're like, yeah, it's native 90. Like they want people to know, like, this is, we've realized, I think anyway, that reprojection is just not a good idea. So.
I think I'm being trolled in chat. They're telling me that the Tarzan devs made Galaxy Kart.
That's true.
They didn't make it, but they ported it. They helped port it to the Quest. And they didn't even originally port the first Tarzan to the Quest. They actually came and they redid the original port that was super terrible that everyone pooped all over, and they made it better.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I actually heard that is a much better version of the game as well. So that's fine. Mm-hmm. Galaxy Kart will be uploaded via 2023 game of the year. It's possible.
It could be.
Apparently, yeah. Funny fact, GT. We were sitting at dinner with that entire team right after they saw your review.
This was the most awkward dinner I've ever
had.
It
was so awkward. And it wasn't just you. Everyone was shitting all over the game. And they're
and they were getting updates.
And they were just like, yeah, it was super interesting.
Very nice.
I want to know more.
Super interesting is not a good way of putting it.
What happened? Oh, man.
Well, they were a little sad, you know. They just like anyone, you know, they make something and people didn't like it, so they were a little bummed out. But they didn't have anything bad to say about anyone or anything. They were just literally, you know, trying to figure out, I think, really what they could do to make it better, which is great.
They just stop eating and push their plates away. And...
Someone threw up.
I will say, like, even for GT's, review, which was harsh, it was a harsh review. They did say that there was points that were fair and that they were going to work on them, and I hope they will.
Oh, right. Yeah. I mean, they must be aware, right? Like, they've played good VR games and then they play theirs and they can see a difference. Right. So they must know most of what these people say and just like cross their fingers, like, maybe we'll get away with this. Maybe we'll get away with that. I don't know. We'll see.
That's what it, that's what it kind of felt like, Alex. And they proved me wrong. Like, basically, I said, is it possible to get a key for this game? And they were like, yeah, we'll send you a key. It didn't work. And then they sent me another key and it didn't work. I was like, oh, fuck it. I'll just buy it. Because I really want to see what it's like. Because as I said openly, I did some play testing on it, gave them some feedback. And that was like a month ago. And the guy's like, yeah, we've got new tracks coming. Got this stuff happening. I was like, oh, cool. Like, I really want to check this out on PSVR 2. Because I think the cars look nice. I think it looks okay, you know, like there's like nice animations there and stuff. And then, I mean, they did implement some of the things I said, thank God. Like, before that, it was such a confusing experience. But they just made some really weird decisions again, and the game hadn't changed. It was just the same. It's four tracks. It's like, what is it? How much is that game? $20? Is it? No. Is it?
I think it is. Yeah, 15. I think it's probably £15.
I don't know. Four tracks. Just anything with four tracks. Like, I don't know if you could go. Yeah.
It's like Mario Kart coming out with just the Mushroom Cup.
It's just a DLC of Mario Kart.
If it was like, amazing, like just phenomenal, and you knew more was coming, yeah. Like,
how many tracks about did Dash Dash launch?
It was definitely more than that. For sure, but they did. That was,
I know,
most,
they added a lot. Think about
they
it.
They tested so much on that game.
Because like multiplayer, I remember multiplayer in Dash Dash was originally like four people, and then they made it eight afterwards.
But you got to remember though that a lot of those early Dash Dash games were beta tests. Like, they didn't launch for years.
That
they beta
true,
tested
actually.
That game.
That is true.
And then when it launched, it was amazing.
It was really good. That game is unfairly ignored. It's such a shame. they've done so much right with that loop to loops. The tracks are brilliant. They added more stuff and it just died again. I think sometimes games are too early on different platforms and stuff. But yeah, when it comes to Galaxy Karts, yeah, like as I said, the worst thing you can do in that game was win. And that's the whole idea of it. You know what I mean? Once you get out in front, you were just bored. It didn't matter what what level of experience or difficulty. Once you got in first, you were like, oh man, I'm just going to be like going round and round, waiting to finish. And it was a shame, but the developer was really nice. And, but that must've been really crazy sitting there at that meal.
It was weird.
How did you know
what happened is it wasn't just them. Because, well, Wes was like, holy crap, I'm looking at a GT. We were sitting in the B&B, and Wes was like, oh, I'm putting on GT's review, and I sat there and listened to it with him. That was in the morning, and all of a sudden, we found ourselves at dinner with them that night. But it wasn't just you. Like, they during the entire dinner, they would be like, oh, we got a good review, and then they'd be like, oh, we just got another bad review. Oh, it was like this, God. Up and down. Like, it was weird.
Man.
Well, these developers need to realize they're making games for people. At least think of it this way, that somebody that just put the headset on, that just came from playing the best AAA game that's out there flat. Imagine that person putting on the headset and then wanting to stay into VR longer than 3 months. You know what I mean? Like, I just read that article recently that was saying that that's why they're struggling. Why there's the retention is they're realizing that the early adopters of VR, the ones that were enthralled with climbing a fucking ladder, it's not enough anymore. You know what I mean? You need to have a game that's fun to play.
That's well said, man. That is
just crazy.
There was a game called Rage Room on PC VR, and that one went on YouTube and stuff. And I remember like hearing about it and thinking from someone who didn't make content, like Rage Room looks really cool. And then I played it and I was like, even in like 2018, I was like, this game is bullshit. Like this game, I don't know why it's popular on PC, why anyone thought it'd be a good idea to even carry on like developing this for anything else. It was awful. And it's to your point, Roots, like what you're saying about it was one mechanic of beating something up in VR, which no one basically had ever done before, as far as I know. So that's what it was. You know, it was the first of its kind. So everyone's like, wow, this is amazing. You can like shoot dummies. Wow. Like you said, climbing a ladder. Wow. So yeah. Madness.
Can I show something off really quick?
What I traveled with for
multiple days.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this was awesome.
What does that say? Mighty Coconut.
Yeah. I got this in Austin at the Mighty Coconut Unreality Breakfast, where they gave everybody avatars. And there's the Mighty Coconut avatar sitting on the table. Jasmine was eyeballing it. And I'm like, oh, I don't think so. How? Boom. Got that on my head. And as I was leaving, I'm like, yo, I don't have to give this back, right? And they're like, nah, you can have it. I'm like, yeah. So there it is. The Mighty Coconut avatar is mine. And they announced at that event their collaboration with Meow Wolf. And if you know me at a personal level, you know how much I fucking love Meow Wolf. So this, to me, is a amazing, amazing collaboration. I can't wait to see what they do.
They're doing AR with it, I think, right?
I don't know what that is.
Meow Wolf is a...
I'm looking
it's up. It's a company that creates these huge psychedelic interactive art exhibits.
I'm looking.
And
you said there's one in Denver, right?
There's one in Denver. There's one in Albuquerque. And I'm going there next month, actually, to go check it out. My wife and I are hopping on a plane and going to go check out the Meow Wolf over there.
Wow, that is so cool. There's one in
Vegas. And the one in Vegas is called Omega Mart. And if you are ever in Vegas, people, I cannot recommend it enough. It is so, so badass. I spent like 6 hours there and could have stayed there longer if my wife wasn't getting so hangry while we were there. But it's like, it is no joke, like as immersive as a VR game, in my opinion, and super, super interactive and just like mind bending. And they are like pushing the limits in terms of like art and exhibits and stuff like that. So the stuff they're going to do with Walkabout is probably going to be amazing. And they're also talking about having like a physical space that correlates with the virtual putt-putt course. So you could like simultaneously, you know, where they could pop the headset off and you're in one area and then you do the thing and put the headset back on and do a thing. So I don't know. I'm stoked. It was a cool event to be a part of. There was a lot of really awesome people there that I wasn't expecting to see and had a really good time.
That's one of the best things about events, man, is just meeting people. You know,
I think that was one of the best things we've done over the past couple of weeks was that event. Being at a mini golf course and having the Walkabout mini golf music, the soundtrack playing as we were playing, you know.
That's wicked.
Yeah, each hole was kind of themed after one of the courses. And, you know, we were playing with like, you know, like Andrew Ikey, CEO of Alchemy Labs, you know, Ian from Upload and, you know, the Walkabout guys themselves, you know, there was like Paul so Brady many
Resolution was there.
Resolution. Yeah. Like a whole squad of Resolution people were just playing mini golf, you know, looking for the hidden balls, just like in the game.
It was cool.
It was
the Arbery team was there. The Arbery team from Pixel Rip.
You got to meet Anna. You've obviously met Anna before, Anna's some of you anyway, but is that your first time meeting her, Mash?
I think I met her one time before at another event, but this was the first time I like got a chance to like hang out with her and just like, you know, do something. Like we hung out at like a party later, but we got to go to the suite and like, you know, demo the game and did a great interview with her.
Can you talk about the game? Can you tell us about the demo?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, this it's super
is,
cool.
Was it Pixel Rip 1979? Is it or something? Or
1978. 1978.
Yeah. Oh, 1 year out. Yeah, go on.
But it's, you know, what's cool about it and what's different than all the other Pixel Rip games is this is a true full-blown Atari is producing this game. So it's not like, you know, fake Nintendo, fake PlayStation. This is Atari all, you know, logoed and everything. Atari is fully behind this. And I got to say, the Atari rep that was there seemed like they were super jazzed to be doing VR. And I could see Atari, you might see Atari do some other games in VR after this, if it's successful, which I hope it is. And the fucking game is so cool, man. If you remember Atari in any way, this will like just immediately bring you back in, from the music to the controls to, you know, everything. And then demoing on a PlayStation VR 2, which is amazing, and to feel the haptics and, you know, the triggers and, you know, everything that comes with the PlayStation VR 2, super cool, man. And she stayed in cosplay, I think, the whole freaking weekend.
She loves cosplay.
Yeah.
I hope they bring the other ones though to PSVR 2. Is there any talk of that at all?
I didn't think to ask, but you know they will.
Yeah, I asked. I said kind of no comment, but they were hopeful.
Nice, dude. That is so cool. Because I think, like, to be fair, Pixel Rip, to me, they've never had like much instant replayability. Like, I don't play through them and then go, right, I'm going to start it again. You know, I don't go back to them year after year. But as a game at the time, I think it's absolutely, I think they're fucking brilliant. I love that Inception moment, like being in a game, playing a game. You know, mm-hmm. I love all that.
I actually do go back to Pixel Ripped. Yeah. You know, like I'm someone who like will play a handful of games, like just because they like make me feel good. You know, like I will play Super Mario Bros. 3 or Sonic 2 at any point. I just love those games, and they like make me feel like, I don't know. It's like some people watch Friends, you know, to like get that feeling of like just comfort and safety, you know? So like, I feel like that when I'm playing Super Mario Brothers 3, I feel like that when I'm playing Sonic 2. And I honestly feel like that when I play Pixel Ripped also, like, oh, just to, man, be able to sit down and just like play like a 2D game in VR and just like kind of be immersed and chill in and see my virtual little kid feet kick in. Like if I'm like feeling like, I don't know, if I like had the place myself and I'm feeling like lonely or like a little down or something like that, I can play Pixel Ripped and like vibes are back on point.
I'm gonna try that. I do wonder whether a lot of people that are in VR now haven't played those games. I mean, Pixel Rip's quite old, isn't it? The original.
They might not even know they exist. You know?
Yeah, and that was one of the things I brought up in the interview. I was like, you know, hey, you know, there's a lot of people that haven't probably played these games that are new people into VR that should get back into these games. So, you know, it'd be a great idea for you to, you know, try and make sure you do this. And I think they will. Like I said, they wouldn't commit to an answer, but I think they will.
Did you meet Shuei?
No, that'd be awesome.
You didn't meet Yoshida?
No. Was he there? I didn't see
him. Yeah, he was there. He was with Anna as well, in that same room you would have been. Oh, man.
You didn't see him, Mash? Mash, you missed the opportunity, hiding? Bro. He was hiding.
Damn,
dude.
It, Skiba, were you hogging Shuei and Yoshida?
Had him in my pocket.
They were standing behind Skiba. You just couldn't see him.
He was, we have a thing called WASD in the UK, like an indie gaming thing, and he was at it last year, and I saw in his like Twitter feed that he'd been there, but he was only there the day before, so the closest I could get to being near him was eating at the same place he ate. I was like, I want to meet him.
But you've done it though. You've done it. You've eaten at the same place. How's
that,
it feel?
That means fuck all. Do you know what I mean?
Alex Steven and I got snubbed by Reggie Fiamme from.
From Nintendo of America. Yeah. Right. Used to be the president of Nintendo of
America. Yeah, Reggie, what, you got snubbed by him? What do you mean?
Well, oh, yeah, you know, we saw him.
He completely like, big lead us.
Alex, I mean, you lost your shit though, dude.
Yeah, it's very rare that I'll just like walk up to someone like that and be like, can I please have a photo with you like right now? And I did not hesitate with him, you know, like he was there talking to Kit from Kit and Crystal. They used to do Nintendo Treehouse, which is like on YouTube, just like a Nintendo show, but official Nintendo YouTube. Anyway, he was there like talking to Kit, and the whole time I'd like seen Kit walking around town and stuff. I'm like, oh no shit, he's here, that's cool. And we were outside the press room getting ready to like go off to start doing our interviews for the day or something. And was this GDC last year?
I was AWE then, I think.
No, it was PAX West.
It was PAX West.
Oh, wow.
PAX West. Holy right. shit. So, yeah, we saw him outside of the press room, and I'm like, holy shit, that's Reggie. like, my body is ready. That is Reggie.
I'm so here with you, man. I'm here with you.
It was so, it was super, super hype. So they're like, I'm like trying to be like, I don't want to like attack him or anything, you know? I'm like kind of like feeling, like feeling out the vibe of the conversation that he's having with Kit. And I can start to see that it's like getting ready to wrap up. So I cruise up and I'm just like, hey dudes, can we please get a photo real quick right now? And Kit's like, yes, let's do it. And Reggie's like, no, we're not doing that. We're busy. We gotta go.
No,
and completely Dr. Disrespect with Nacy.
Yeah. And we were like, okay, we get it. Goodbye. But damn it.
Oh, that cool. is.
You were that close, man.
If I was there, I would have said, no, Reggie, you're doing.
You're doing it,
dude.
Face. I would have.
I was like cowering in his like tower
that's
shadow.
Not right.
Yeah. I know. Mm. I know, and Kit said yes, so I was extremely hyped, and Reggie was just like, no, we're not doing that.
Oh, I feel so bad.
He said, do you know who I am?
Literally, it was just like the four of us in the hallway or whatever. It was just like nobody was there. It would have been like the perfect time.
Do you know what I love is that it must, when I imagine to Reggie, Alex looked like a 15, 16-year-old kid then as well. I bet he had all these glimmery eyes and everything. How could he have said that to you, man?
Yeah,
he didn't know if he knew who Alex was and knew him personally, he'd been like, hell yeah, dude.
The thing is, Reggie knows he's better than him. That's the thing, he knows.
I've been like trying to like bury and repress this memory for a while, and you guys are just kicking it back up for me, you know.
Oh, man. So before we close out the show, have you guys met any of your heroes before? Like, is there anyone you've met and been like, wow,
Palmer Lucky.
Really? Yep. Yeah. I saw the pictures. Yep. Yeah.
Palmer I met Pantera a bunch of times. White Zombie, Slayer, System of a Down.
Cool.
I don't know.
System of a Down is so good.
Danzig. I met Danzig and Sepultura. I met Mick Foley once. That was pretty cool.
Nice. Mankind.
Yeah, at the mall. He was just at the mall, walking around.
It's what people do. It's crazy, isn't it? Like, you know, just living their life. What are you doing here? Just shopping. What?
I met Sadlyus Bradley a couple times.
Oh, my God. No way. How cool. Yeah.
What's that like? Dude. What's it like to meet him?
You know, it's, you know, he big leagued me a couple times too, but.
Oh, wow.
He's a busy guy.
You're killing him.
He's melting.
Yeah. Oh no, he's gone. I believe he would like to go because he does want to get back into VR. He's been out for a very long time.
I know. He's so challenging.
I will say
I'm buying that headset now because of him.
I want to buy that headset.
It looks good. I went to OC6 and you know, rest in peace, Oculus Connect. Whatever. I was walking around like the pre-event. There was like a night before like happy hour reception thing. And while I was there, I like cruise across the room and I saw Beat Games, like Jan and what's her name, dude? I can't believe it.
Mikkel? Is it
right
Mikkel?
Now. Yeah.
Same.
Either way, I saw Beat Games there and I was like, wow, like that's the Beat Saber team, holy crap, you know, like that's like the biggest VR game in the world. And I cruised over to them and, you know, I was there like fresh interviewer, you know, really hadn't done like the microphone interview thing a lot before that. And when I approached them, I was like, hey, I'm here, you know, huge fan of the game, blah blah blah, I'm grabbing interviews for my channel this week, and if you guys would be down, I would love to like be able to grab an interview with someone from your team, you know, while we're here. And they were like, can we do that? We should be able to do that, that's cool, sounds good. And I'm like, okay, awesome, I'll hit you up later, I guess. And then like left, and the whole time I'm thinking to myself like, oh my god, like did I just squander that? Like did I like put it off and like now it's going to be impossible to get them? And the next day comes and the, you know, the keynote starts and Zuckerberg walks out on the stage and he's like, yeah, what's up, I'm Zuckerberg, this stuff is going down, it's going to be great. And then he leaves, a few people come on, and then who else comes on is them, the Beat Games team, like now on the stage at the keynote. And I'm like, oh god, like there's no way I'm gonna get these guys now. But I like sent a couple DMs to Jan, the head developer, and he pinged me back and he's like, how about, I was like, hey man, is there any time that I could like catch you? And he's like, how about right now in front of room 227? I'm like, yes, and like sprinted over there and grabbed the interview with him. And he was like one of the nicest dudes in the world, like so awesome to chat with. And that is like one of those moments for me for sure, where I was like starstruck when I saw them.
That's did you show them your cool stuff? Did you jump into Beat Saber and like show them how good
oh,
you are?
Oh yeah.
No, I did not, but I did have a good chat with them. You know, at the time I was using like those Beat Saber extender things where you can like plug your Quest controllers into this like third party 3D printed piece. Yeah. And I was like, yo, what do you think about these? Like, or like the Darth Maul stuff. Like, do you like you down for people like augmenting the controllers to play the game, you know? And like, if they're setting high scores by using third party peripherals, like, is that cheating or is that, does that fly as far as you're concerned, you know? And he's like, no, we're cool with it. You know, maybe we should look into doing something first party, you know, who knows? But obviously nothing like that has ever happened.
That was the last time they ever put any thought into their game ever again.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, at least I was there for it.
That's right.
It's fucking awesome.
You think you're better than me?
maybe one day you'll see the light, Mash.
I did get a chance to see Alex do his moves and Jasmine.
Hold on, do you not like Beat Saber, Mash?
I am not a fan of Beat Saber, no.
Oh my god, okay. I know what you mean.
Yeah. I'm a fan of what it did for VR. I'm just not a fan of, like, to me, I think it's a boring game. It's like...
You're slicing blocks, though, bro.
With lightsabers.
Blocks, yeah, with lightsabers in VR.
You can change the colors, too. Did you know?
Whoa, hold on, wait a minute. You can change the colors of the blocks?
Yeah. Well, Linkin Park soundtrack in Beat Saber is one of the best packs, I think, personally. I guess it's a bit like Synth Riders. It depends on your music taste as well, because a lot of the times Beat Saber, I liked the original. I think I was part of the wow factor back then, but I do agree with you. Beat Saber's not one I put time into. You know, I don't really play it. Yeah, but they've had some really cool updates to that game, like 360 mode. They've now got a multiplayer mode. You know, there's a lot of great stuff going on there.
Yeah, the multiplayer is so bad, though.
No, it's not. It's bad. It's they, better they than all the other rhythm
games.
You
can't even talk to anybody in their multiplayer.
Just join a party. It's not a big deal.
But why do I have to? And have you joined an Oculus party and seen how jank that shit is? Like, okay, why can't I go into Synth Riders and just play and talk to everybody that's
but
in there?
But in Synth Riders, you have no avatar presence. There's no.
I need to see what's coming at me. I don't need to see what. I just, as long as I can talk to them, I feel like I'm there. Synth Riders has the challenge mode where you can throw modifiers at people. You got that in Beat Saber?
You don't need it.
So fucking lazy. Beat Games is the laziest developer I've ever seen. They're like cashed in, dude. They are just cashed in.
No.
We're done.
No.
Let's go through Saber, some music packs.
Beat
in there
Saber
and be done.
Is it's like expression, okay? It's like learning how to play
how much
instrument.
How thought do you think they put in their game in the last 4 years?
That's like saying people aren't putting thought into like guitars, you know? Like, obviously people are, but like, that's like saying playing guitar is boring because you just pick it up and do the same thing every day. Like, it's expression. You're like feeling things through the movements that you're doing, you know? Like, it's like calling chess repetitive, you know? It's like, it's the same board, but like, there's so much expression and so much happens that while you're in there.
Examples to make your point.
Oh, God. I'm out of here.
See you guys.
I can't reason with you, Mash.
But we still love each other. That's all that matters.
Dude, I love you dearly. You're one of the best dudes ever. You're just not very smart.
And on that bombshell, thank you much to everyone for watching. Thank you to all the guys turning up for the show today. I really appreciate it. I've missed you over the last couple of weeks. So it's really good to get you all back together.
Yeah, this is fun. Thanks for making sure that we get together and do this stuff. March is crazy, right? A lot of us have been traveling a lot, and it's not over yet, but I am looking forward to things planning out and making sure that we're on track for weekly episodes.
I just wanted to shout out Alex for keeping the ship so clean and tidy while Skeeva's gone, because they were
it looks really clean.
Thanks. I noticed you got some of the dust off that ledge behind you. Appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm doing what I can, you know. I sit around, I think about Skeeva, and then I like start fixing things up, you know, getting ready for him to come home.
I don't know, flash a blue light in that place. I want to see what's really going on.
Put his maid's outfit on. Thinking about Skeeva, stop polishing.
Just dusting.
Have you ever like hit an asteroid in that ship?
Our first ship got taken out, crashed.
Oh god,
remember that?
You weren't there though.
No, we were there. We got invaded by a robot that was. I don't know if you guys, anyone wants to go back and watch the last episode of season one. Yeah, and a robot came on and took over all our comms and crashed our ship, and then we had to go find this thing.
That was when you
holding
to,
up great.
That was when you used to do a lot of like drugs on the show, though, wasn't it? So did that
yeah,
happen?
We were like shooting heroin on the show.
Yeah, yeah, we did that.
Doing crystal. Oh, excellent! Right, guys, thank you ever so much. I hope you have a great week and enjoy yourselves. And yeah, thank you everyone in chat again. Really appreciate you showing up. And see you next week. Thank you.
See you next week.
Bye. Love you all.
Bye, guys.
Bye.